This is Justin Wierderski, and this is Earth 52. Hey, welcome to Earth 52, Episode 1, War of the Superman, by James Robinson, and art by Sterling Gates. Correction. Written by Sterling Gates and James Robinson, with art by Eddie Barrows, Jamal Igle, Edward Pansica, Cafu, and Bernard Chang. With inkers J.P. Mayer, John Seibel, Wayne Fauscher, Bernard Chang. With colors by Rod Reese Blonde, letterer John J. Hill, with a collection of covers by Eddie Barrows, J.P. Mayer, and Rod Rice. And of course, Superman was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Well, Superman, War of the Supermen, finishing up the new Krypton storyline. Considering I've only read one other volume of the new Krypton storyline, this was pretty good. It did an excellent job of explaining everything that, you know, needed to be explained, because, in all honesty, I don't really keep up with Superman. The summaries that they did for the particular storyline, filling in the blanks, was good. The art was excellent. It took all the previous art. I do like the art on the Superman Brainiac story. I kind of want to read that story now, just so I could see the art for that. Yeah, the art was, throughout this whole book, excellent. I mean, the detail in the fighting scenes in space was awesome. The red sun, the different crystals that popped up all over the place. Costume design for the Kryptonians was pretty good. I mean, just that one page, double page spread, where all the Kryptonians are just wailing on the Mars base and just beating the tar out of the human and the humans in the armor. It's just so detailed with all the different guys and the laser blasts and laser vision and the ice breath and all that stuff. Just, it's absolutely amazing. The plot was pretty good. I know that this most recent storyline hasn't been getting a lot of good reviews, but I thought this is a good capper to what apparently was a complex and kind of idiotic story, apparently. I haven't read all of it, so I couldn't honestly give you my whole opinion on the entire story. I did enjoy the plot twist. Spoilers. I'm gonna give you a chance to turn off your MP3 player right now. Okay, so I did very much enjoy the part with the sun turning red. It was awesome. It's just like, dude, they turned the sun effing red. And then all the Kryptonians just dying in space, and they're like, oh my god, how are they gonna get this out of this one? And then the next issue, it takes a couple pages, and the sun's back to yellow again. Yeah. I wish they had done that a little better, because that's such a good idea, turn the sun red. I wish they'd played on that a little bit more, instead of getting rid of it, like, within one issue. I wish that Superman and Supergirl were on Earth when that happened, so they're duking it out as humans against the, you know, like a first wave of Kryptonians, and then you've got like a second or third wave with even more Kryptonians coming towards Earth, and that's when they turn the sun red, and it kills all those guys. I mean, that would have been a lot better than supposedly getting all of them into the Phantom Zone, which I just find ridiculous, because you've got Superboy, who has less experience than these soldier guys, and he's going around the world, and he's sucking them all up. And it's just kind of, must have taken a while. I wonder if there's any Kryptonians left. Of course there is. I mean, you don't, of course they're going to bring the Kryptonians back. There's going to be, you know, some major storyline where there's going to be like a rogue squadron of Kryptonians left over from the invasion, and they're going to come after Superman, and it's just going to be this huge, big thing. It's going to be like Superman 2 all over again, but I don't know. I guess it was kind of a nice capper to the story. I mean, how else were they going to finish it off? It's not like they could have, you know, 6 billion Kryptonians running around Earth. I mean, Superman's called the last son of Krypton for a reason. He's supposed to be the last person. And if you have all these Kryptons, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of Superman. Of course, now they have Superboy, and he's technically a clone, so he's still the last son of Krypton. But, you know, I mean, that's the same problem they had back in the 60s. They started introducing all these Kryptonians, Mon-El, Superman's random cousin, his other cousin, Kara, all these other random Kryptonians, and then brought in the entire city of Kandor, and it's like, wow, last son of Krypton. Yeah, that works well. Yeah, maybe last 100th son of Krypton. It just, you know, they had to cap it off somehow, and I would be interested to see what writing team picks up after this and what they do with this. As I would hope that they would play up the psychological toll that it takes on Superman having to use the Phantom Zone again. I remember his last encounter with the Phantom Zone and just hating putting people in there so much. And you know, it's always been a last resort for him to put people in the Phantom Zone, and I know he hates to do it, so I don't know. Let's see here. I do really enjoy what Robinson has done with Jimmy. He's turned him from the kind of 2D photographer to the investigating, not really a cut reporter. He's an honest-to-God reporter, and he, from what I remember from the last volume I read, he's become quite the Lois Lane in his own respect. He uncovered a lot of the stuff, a lot of the info on General Lane's plans, and he took an integral part in this story. I was kind of impressed. I mean, Robinson has a way of maturing characters and bringing them to that next level of, you know, their own characteristics. So I was glad to see that he did that with Jimmy. It's kind of nitpicky, but I don't really like how Nightwing and Firebird, you know, took the names Nightwing and Firebird. I don't really know why they took those names. I'm sure there's some sort of, like, Kryptonian history or whatever crap about that. But, you know, you have previously established characters in the DC Universe called Nightwing and Firebird, and if you steal those, it's kind of... What do those superheroes think when you're stealing their name? I mean, I'm pretty sure when this released, Nightwing hadn't become Batman yet. I could be wrong about that. But I mean, you know, Nightwing's swinging around, he's like, it's Nightwing! What about the other Nightwing? And, of course, Nightwing's just completely confused about this. He's like, what? There's another Nightwing? He's like, yeah, he's got superpowers and all that stuff. He flies like Superman. I'm sure he'd be pretty PO'd, because, I mean, there was that whole storyline where that one guy, that one vigilante, took his name and was running under that, and the huge debacle that it created from that. I'm sure he's pretty sick of people stealing his name. Another thing I'm wondering is when are they going to stop reintroducing General Zod? I think this is their fourth, maybe fifth time introducing General Zod. And, of course, every single time there's some infinite crisis, crisis infinite, or whatever crap. And it ends up changing and they can reintroduce him again or whatever. But I think the last General Zod they said was a General Zod from another dimension. And so... this General Zod is the actual General Zod, and it's just this huge debacle of General Zod after General Zod, and you kind of get sick of all these General Zods. I mean, pick a General Zod, stick with him, and just, you know, let him be. Let the character be the antithesis of Superman. I mean, that's what General Zod is supposed to be. He's supposed to be, you know, Superman, you know, the sins of the father passing on to the son. And it's that whole, you know, another thing that they played on in Starman that I think really resonates in the General Zod character and should be played on a little bit more. But, you know, you can't really do that if General Zod changes every single time and, you know, changes from, you know, crazy Kryptonian dictator to maniac in a giant red armor, and guy wanting his kid back, and now this guy, army general, ruler, whatever he is. I don't know. It just, General Zod needs to stay an established character in the DC Universe, because they keep sending him off to the Phantom Zone. I think they should do what they did in Smallville and remove his powers. Because I think that his team-ups with, like, Lex Luthor could be excellent. I mean, you have this inner Kryptonian knowledge that Lex can take advantage of. At the same time, both he and General Zod are getting the revenge. Of course, they're going to turn on each other, and General Zod's going to find some way to get his powers back, at least temporarily. I think that'd be a very good thing for them to do, is to put General Zod back on Earth outside of the Phantom Zone. None of his henchmen, because I think the whole tribe of Kryptonians in Smallville was kind of stupid. Just General Zod, without any powers. And just, let him be. Let him join the society of supervillains and, face off against people. Alright, so moving on. I did think that the epilogue issue was a little dumb. Kind of pointless. Just back and forth, Lois and Clark stuff. Wasn't all that special. I would have been very much disappointed if I paid, $3 or $4 for that. I mean, just that. I mean, it's like 5 pages, or, sorry, not 5 pages, it's 15 pages of, nothing. Just them talking, and it's something that should be, like, interspersed throughout a story, not consisting of an entire issue. I mean, I know Superman deserves to have a break once in a while, but, an entire issue just devoted to him and Lois talking, and, of course, the one battle with Parasite. Yeah, I don't know, it's kind of stupid. But I do see what they were trying to do there. Show Superman's struggle with this whole Kryptonian thing, and the whole divide that it put in his and Lois's relationship, and kind of reconciling that. But that could have been done within a couple of pages in, a lead-up issue. I mean, if you're going to do an issue like this that concentrates on Lois and Clark's relationship, at least have a spoiler to the next storyline. Like, at the end of the issue, you have a couple panels where, Lex unveils his new, bizarro creation, or an alien spacecraft is hurtling toward Earth, or something. Don't just let it stop with Lois and Clark floating in Metropolis. I don't know. Oh, crap, I kept breathing into the mic. Sorry about all those out there in podcast land. This is my first podcast, so if the sound quality sucks, it is because A, I'm using a crappy mic, and B, because I keep breathing into the mic by accident. And I know you're not supposed to do that, so please, deal. I'll get better with time. Well, 13 minutes. That's, not too bad for a podcast, especially a first podcast. Overall, Superman, War of the Supermen. I'm going to give it a solid B. Could have been better, but it was a nice capper to an all-out adequate storyline. Well, that has been episode 1. Earth 52. I hope you join us again for another, hopefully better, episode. And see you later. Bye.